welcome along to the Euro Assist as we look forward to the second round of matches in the Champions League this week. I'm Warren Ashurst, and I'm pleased to say I've been joined by Racing Post tipster James Milton to look ahead to this week's league stage fixtures. And before we do go straight into the matches, Milton, just a quick word on the first round of games. I mean, big surprises along the way, including a win for Karabag. Paphos also claimed a useful draw in their first game as well. But many of the main protagonists were underway with a victory, as we probably expected.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, lots of the big guns got off to solid starts. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, PSG, we're going to come to later on in this show, got a real kind of early season injury crisis. So Chelsea, of course. And you mentioned that Karabag game, absolutely extraordinary win for them. There were 14-1 shots at the start of the game in Benfica. They were 2-0 down inside about 15 minutes and came back to win 3-2. So there you go. If you're betting in play on the Champions League, you know, don't be afraid to be bold now and again. That was absolutely a remarkable comeback.
Yeah, certainly pays sometimes during the league format. And we'll see if there's any big prices that we can dig up in terms of this week's action in the Champions League. And we'll start off by looking, of course, at the English teams who are featuring with all six in action across Tuesday and Wednesday. And we'll start off on Tuesday as Tottenham make the journey to Norway to take on Bodo Glimt in an 8 o'clock kickoff. Spurs, I can tell you, are 11-10 to claim the victory. It's 21-10 Bodo Glimt and 29-10 for the draw. They met, of course, last season, James, in terms of that Europa League clash. Spurs won the away leg 2-0 on the AstroTurf last time around. Is it going to be a similar story this time?
I think it could be. Yeah, I mean, you know, heading to the Arctic Circle is going to be a real voyage into the unknown for a lot of Champions League clubs this season. But Tottenham, as you mentioned, have recent experience there. And they did it really nicely, actually, in the Europa League, didn't they? Yeah, I think Ange Postecoglou last season kind of boxed a bit clever in the knockout stages, and I think that experience will help Thomas Frank as well. You know, like you mentioned, they went to Bodo Glimt, won 2-0 in the second leg to book their place in the final, and I think another Tottenham win to nil looks the best bet in this one. I think kind of the match betting, it's hard to get too excited about their price, but I think it. You know, if they are going to win, then they may have to grind it out. And they've been strong in the early weeks of Thomas Frank's reign. You know, obviously they had the 1-1 draw with Wolves on Saturday. I think a lot of Spurs fans were kind of fearing the worst there when Wolves arrived after five straight defeats. And you know, they needed a late equaliser to avoid a real shock result. But I think Frank's got Tottenham looking pretty solid defensively and in midfield. They've got attacking issues, but I think they can nick a win to nil.
Yeah, I just wonder whether Tottenham are going to be a better team away from home this season, not having to play as kind of much possession style and try and hit teams a bit more on the break. Bodo Glimt, 2-2 draw at Slavia Prague last time out. Scored 5 goals in the home leg of the playoff win as well over Sturm Graz. So they've got goals in them. And Spurs have scored 7 in their 3 Premier League away games this season. So I'm going with over 2.5 goals in this game, 8-13. I do think Tottenham will probably have too much for Bodo Glimt, but I do think that going the overs route is possibly the best thing in terms of this game. At the same time, by the way, Chelsea are also in action on Tuesday evening, as are Liverpool. We're going to have a look at Chelsea first as they play host to Benfica at Stamford Bridge, and Chelsea 4-6 to claim the win here, 4-1 Benfica, and it's 29-10 the draw. This might have just have been looked at as a standard Champions League format game, Milts, before Jose Mourinho entered town.
Yes, very interesting subplot there, isn't it? I'm not even sure if it's a subplot. It's going to be all that anyone's talking about. But yeah, just to kind of give the background to Mourinho rocking up at Benfica. I mean, he was sacked by Fenerbahce after they lost the Champions League playoff to Benfica. Kerem Aktürkoğlu, who scored the only goal of that tie for Benfica, then moved to Fenerbahce. And now Mourinho's gone back to Benfica. So I hope you're keeping up with all that. That's the background. And, yeah, it's going to be a really interesting game, this, I think. You know, do you think of Mourinho's first spell at Chelsea particularly, you know, that defensive excellence, that champions who I think they conceded 15 goals in a Premier League season. The current crop under Enzo Maresca are not going to be threatening that record. There's so many defensive injuries, so much ill discipline. And you know, they've had three defeats on the spin now, you know, starting with that 3-1 loss at Bayern in the Champions League. Didn't play badly there, but then, you know, losing at Manchester United when Robert Sanchez gets sent off in the first 5 minutes. And then at home to Brighton, when again they were kind of in control up until the first half, and then had Trevor Chalobah sent off, and you know, that is a concern. So I'm not expecting a defensive masterclass from either of these teams. Mentioned at the top of the show, Benfica's remarkable home defeat to Karabag. So over 2.5 goals on both teams to score looks the one for me. I do not trust either of these defenses.
Yeah, I'm with you on that front. I was looking at potentially even whether to go with a draw here, because you just know that Jose Mourinho will have a plan up his sleeve to try and frustrate Chelsea as much as possible. Chelsea go into the clash, of course, just looking out of sorts at the minute. Two Premier League defeats back-to-back, as Milt said there, and that Champions League defeat against Bayern. But I don't know whether Benfica have got enough in them. They came from a goal down at the weekend, by the way, to beat Gil Vicente in Mourinho's first league game in charge. But I just think Chelsea probably should have too much. But as Milt's alluded to there, I think Benfica can get on the score sheet against what is a sort of disjointed Chelsea backline at the moment. So I'm going with Chelsea to win and both teams to score, which can be backed at around about 11-5. The other game, as we mentioned briefly before, is at 8 p.m. also on Tuesday evening, and that sees Galatasaray play host to Liverpool. In terms of the betting, well, I can tell you that Galatasaray are around about 15-4 to claim the victory here. It's 13-20 Liverpool, and the draw is 16-5. First real test, I suppose, for Arne Slot of the season here, James, is that, you know, they ended up not playing particularly well, I would say, early games of the season, but still getting wins. And then they didn't play well in the first half against Crystal Palace, and ultimately it led to defeat.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we can't have a show go by without discussing Liverpool and late goals. And this season, for the first time, obviously one went against them at Crystal Palace. And you know, as you say, I don't think they could have too many complaints, really, about that result at Selhurst Park. And it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back. I think this is quite a good fixture for them, actually. You know, traditionally, sort of these trips for Turkey are, you know, full of trepidation. But I think Galatasaray are just going to be so open that Liverpool are going to have the quality to pick them off. You know, Galatasaray have been absolutely flying in the Turkish Super League. And then their first Champions League game was a 5-1 defeat at Eintracht Frankfurt. So, you know, there is clearly a gulf between their domestic standards and the Champions League. And Liverpool, you know, among the favourites, obviously topped the Champions League table last season. So I think a high-scoring Liverpool win is the way to go here, you know, because as we've seen, not just at Palace, but in pretty much every Liverpool league game this season, there are real concerns about their defending. And Galatasaray have got some brilliant individuals, you know, as you expect from one of the big Turkish sides, lots of kind of familiar names who've ended up earning pretty decent money, I think, out there. Mauro Icardi's banging in the goals. They might have Victor Osimhen fit again. He came back as substitute at the weekend. And they signed Ilkay Gundogan and Leroy Sané over the summer. So there's some big names there, and they can certainly unsettle Liverpool's defence. But I like the look of Liverpool to win and over 3.5 goals.
Yeah, it does point to goals, this game, when you consider that Galatasaray lost their opening Champions League game 5-1 at Eintracht Frankfurt. They're there to be got at, you certainly feel. Don't look too much into the head-to-head stats here. It's been a while since these two teams played each other, but Liverpool haven't won on the last two trips to Galatasaray. A defeat and a draw, but it was Robbie Fowler who was on the score sheet the last time they played there. So it's been some time, and the Reds will see this as a good chance, I think, to bounce back. And I'm going to go with an anytime goal scorer bet here of Hugo Ekitike, because I think Ekitike will certainly be apologising to some of his teammates for that silly suspension following his red card against Southampton in the EFL Cup. He couldn't play against Palace at the weekend. Because of that, he's almost certain to get a run out at some stage against Galatasaray. I expect that he'll probably start and that Alexander Isak will go on the bench, because he still didn't look 100% fit against Palace at the weekend. So I think Hugo Ekitike will be desperate to make up for that sending off, and you can get around about 6-5 for him to score at any time in Istanbul. Let's move on to Wednesday's action now. Union Saint-Gilloux are the opponents for Newcastle in the early kickoff at 5:45 on Wednesday. The home team are 23-10 to claim the victory. It's 11-4 the draw and 21-20 Newcastle. You can only imagine what Newcastle are waking up feeling this morning, James, after that disappointment against Arsenal on Sunday. But I suppose, as they normally say, you want a quick chance to try and put that right, and they do have that.
They do, yeah. I mean, it was a big blow for them, you know, letting slip that lead very late on against Arsenal when, you know, it looked as though they'd kind of weathered the storm. I mean, I think Arsenal were very good in the first half. Nick Pope kept Newcastle in the game, a bit of help from VAR as well. But second half, I felt Newcastle were in control of the game, and then suddenly, you know, Arsenal substitutes do the business, and then a set piece. So that would have been a tough one for Newcastle. And I'm not mad about them at the prices in Brussels. Union Saint-Gilloux is a really, really informed side, won the Belgian title last season. You know, just looking, it's a small sample size, but you're looking at the standard of Belgian football in terms of the Champions League. You know, Club Brugge reached the round of 16 last season, hammered Monaco 4-1 in their first game of this season. And Union had a terrific 3-1 win away to PSV, who are Dutch champions. So I'm inclined to back Union or draw double chance in this one. Just think Newcastle are such a different beast at St James's Park to how they are on the road. You know, we saw them give Barcelona a pretty good game on match day one. Mm-hmm. I think away from home at short prices, I'm quite happy to take them on. You know, they've started the league season, of course, with 3-0 draws away from home. And I think that this game could be tougher for them than maybe the betting suggests.
Yeah, I'm actually going to disagree with Miltz for the first time on this show, because I do think that Newcastle have what it takes to kind of bounce back. I agree, it would have liked a bit of a bigger price than, say, 21-20 for Eddie Howe's men, but been really impressed with Volta Mare, of what I've seen of him so far. And I think he can prove his worth at this level. And I think with a bit of the pace that they've got with the likes of Anthony Gordon and Alanga and such like as well, on the break away from home, I think this gives them a real good chance to bounce back personally. And although I don't think it'll be straightforward, I can see Newcastle just about shading it, as I say, around about 21-20 for Eddie Howe's men to win. Arsenal, meanwhile, well, they're back in action on the same evening, but an 8 o'clock kickoff at the Emirates, as they play host to Greek side Olympiakos. Arsenal 2-11 to claim the victory. It's as big as 16-1 for Olympiakos to claim the 3 points, and 11-2 the draw. I mean, Olympiakos couldn't have probably hoped for a worse game of the second week of Champions League fixtures when you consider what happened first time around. And they were, you know, 0-0 against Paphos, you go, okay, it might just be one of those games. But at home against a team who've had no Champions League experience before, it doesn't bode well for them, James, heading to London.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I remember Paphos were reduced to 10 men, I think, in the 25th minute there. And Olympiakos still managed only 3 shots on target. You know, that result will have bust plenty of accos on match day one, because Olympiakos, you know, won the Conference League a couple of seasons ago, really, really kind of seasoned European performance. And they'd certainly have expected to be travelling to London with 3 points in the bag. So that was disappointing. And you know, the way they played it in that game, you know, suggests that Arsenal should stand firm. And another victory to nil looks a solid bet. You know, they've ground it out in Athletic Bilbao 2-0. You know, a couple of substitutes making the difference again, as the subs did at Newcastle. And, you know, really, really solid at home. I think at a bigger price, I like the look of Eberechi Eze to score first. He got his first goal for Arsenal at Port Vale in the EFL Cup last week. And I thought he was really, really bright at St James's Park. You know, forced Nick Pope into a couple of fantastic saves in the first half. And you know, I suspect that Arteta will be reluctant to unleash Martin Odegaard from the start. We saw him come on late on, but he's had this shoulder injury. So maybe Eze with another sort of roaming role in midfield, and I think he could be a real threat to Olympiacos.
Yeah, I think me and Milt's singing from the same hymn sheet here, because I've put Arsenal to win 2-0 at 5-6 as well. I just think there's nothing really on offer from Olympiacos here, and I don't think they actually go to Arsenal with any real belief, to be honest. They can go and claim the victory here. I would imagine that Mikel Arteta will make a few changes to his starting 11, but that actually might make them stronger, because there'll be players looking to try and push for a Premier League start with a good performance as well. And although Olympiacos did claim a win at the weekend, they conceded twice to Levadiakos at home as well. So they're leaking goals at this stage, and I think Arsenal will just prove to be way too strong for them. Let's head to the clash between Monaco and Manchester City now on Wednesday evening. Another 8 o'clock kickoff. Monaco 21-4 to claim the victory. City 4-9, and the draw is 4-1. Got to be a City win here, hasn't it, do you think, Miltz?
I think so. I mean, we're not quite back in the territory where, you know, you really fancy City at short odds to get the job done. But certainly they've impressed. You know, we saw a different side of them at Arsenal when they were on track for almost a kind of Mourinho-esque 1-0 win. And then Gabriel Martinelli scored the late equaliser. Thrashed Burnley, as they always seem to do, at the weekend. That was a nice kind of gentle warm-up for this trip. Yeah. And I think this is another ideal opportunity for City to turn on the style, because Monaco's games have been really high-scoring all season long, and indeed, actually, the second half of last season. Monaco had to play with 10 men for the whole second half of their weekend defeat to Lorient. They beat Metz 5-2 in their last home league game. But, I mean, a 4-1 loss at Club Bruges on the match day one in the Champions League was a really worrying result. And Bruges created tons of chances as well. You know, they certainly weren't flattered by that scoreline. I think over 3.5 goals looks a solid bet here. Eric Dier in the Monaco defence, I'm not sure quite how much protection he gets from the players in front of him. He could have a tough time against Erling Haaland and the rest of the City forwards.
Yeah, I've gone for exactly the same bet, over 3.5 goals, because I just think there will be goals in this. I saw a little bit of the Monaco game with Bruges last time out, and they were poor, and I expected so much better from them as well. And they have the worst defensive record of any of the top 8 teams in Liga 1 this season. They've leaked 10 goals in their opening 6 league games. In contrast, City are the top scorers, of course, in the Premier League with 14 in 6 matches. And you feel a little bit like Pep Guardiola doesn't like the fact that he has to kind of tweak for Premier League games and make those tactical changes, which saw them a little bit more defensive against Arsenal. When he gets these games, he feels like he can just maybe unleash City here. And as I say, I think there will be goals in abundance. So that's the Premier League teams covered then in this week's Champions League action. We're going to turn our attentions now to the game of the week, and it's an absolute belter to look forward to as Barcelona take on Paris Saint-Germain. It could and possibly should have been last season's final, of course, but Barca were beaten by Inter in the semi-finals before PSG went on to lift the trophy. Barca will feel that this is their chance to put the record straight, maybe, and that they should have gone on to win the title last time around. And they lost 4-1 as well in the last 2 home matches against PSG. So certainly things to be put right here, you would think, Milts, in terms of this clash.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think you're right. It was probably the final we'd have liked to have seen last season. You know, obviously, Inter ran out of steam in spectacular fashion in that 5-0 loss to PSG. And Barca really should have got past Inter in that ridiculous semi-final, lost 7-6 on aggregate. I think this is a good time for Barca to be playing PSG, actually. You know, the European champions really struggling with injuries in the early season. You know, we mentioned Chelsea early on. Is this a kind of hangover from the Club World Cup? Both clubs made it to the final there. And PSG, who had, you know, their fitness record was impeccable last season. But, you know, they're missing Dembele. They've got doubts over several other key players, including Vitinha and João Neves, who, you know, played such crucial roles in that midfield. I think once that midfield three is broken up, then PSG really are vulnerable. And I like the look of Barcelona to win and both teams to score in this one. You know, you mentioned the high scoring games between these clubs in the past. And I think this could be another one. Yeah, PSG, I think in the long term, you know, if you're on them for to retain the trophy, I don't think you need to be panicking now. Mm. But, you know, Marquinhos is another injury absentee. And you know, they had that kind of first 11, didn't they, last season, who pretty much were inked in throughout the knockout stages. And I think it's going to be a very different lineup against Barcelona. And I'd expect Barca to take advantage.
Before I go on to talk about what I was looking at in terms of a bet here, Milt, I mean, do you see PSG, once they get back to full fitness, still being the team to beat in this year's tournament? And are Barcelona potentially their closest rivals?
I think, as the betting suggested, you know, Barca were right up there with kind of Liverpool and then PSG and Arsenal. I think that those four are still the class act. And then you're looking at, you know, can City get it together? Can Real Madrid get it together? But yeah, I certainly wouldn't be writing off PSG at this stage. You know, remember last season they started really poorly, lost three of their first five games, I think. And and yeah, you know, you also look at their kind of domestic duties. And you know, they lost 1-0 at Marseille in their last away game, but you know, they dominated that game. Marquinhos scored an early own goal and they couldn't get back on terms. But you know, they've been pretty much unbeatable in Ligue 1 for the past however many seasons. And so I do expect them to be on track by the time of the knockout stages. But yeah, I think this the timing of this game is a real tough one for Luis Enrique.
Yeah, it looks that way. Fabian Ruiz, I was reading before we recorded this, looks like he has a chance of being ready to feature for PSG. But as Milt has already alluded to, several key players out. No Doué still by the looks of it. No Kvaratskhelia either. So it is a real big blow for PSG. And Jack and I both thought that they might suffer against Atalanta last time out with so many key players missing. As it was, they got the win at home that time. But this is another step up in quality against the Barca team, who should have Lamine Yamal back, having missed that game against Newcastle. I did fear for them 20 minutes into the game at St James's Park because they were really up against it. But they showed their quality, and particularly Marcus Rashford as well, who two goals for him and having an impact on that stage again can only do his confidence good. Barcelona, I think, will probably just about edge it on this occasion. But watch out for PSG once those players get back fit again. But Barca at 17-20 is my suggested bet for the game of the week. We're also going to bring you a bet builder as well each time here on the Euro Assist Show. And I'm delighted to say we've got a winner in the first week when we suggested the 4-1 shot of Bayern against Chelsea, both teams to score, Harry Kane to score at any time, and Cole Palmer to have 1+ shots on target, which all came in at 4-1. And this time around, we're going to have a look at the Monaco-Manchester City game. And firstly, the first leg is Manchester City to win the game, because with Monaco looking so leaky at the back, City certainly have the weapons all over the park to cause Monaco problems and get themselves at least once or twice, you would think, and probably more on the score sheet. And Erling Haaland, at the moment, Milt, you have to say, pretty much back to his best at this stage.
Absolutely. I mean, 15 goals in 9 starts for club and country this season. And yeah, I think he's going to be very, very hard to stop. The one stat that caught my eye from that Monaco defeat against Club Brugge was Brugge striker Nicolò Trissoldi had 8 shots in that win. I mean, if you give Erling Haaland that kind of freedom, then he is going to punish you. So could be a good night, not just for Haaland, anytime goal scorer backers, but maybe if you're on him for the Champions League golden boot as well.
Yeah, certainly. As City to win and Erling Haaland, anytime goal scorer, are the first two legs of our bet builder. And the third leg is Lamine Kamara to commit 2+ fouls in that game on Wednesday. He committed 2 fouls against Club Brugge in the opening Champions League clash. He's already been yellow carded this season in the league, and last season he racked up 12 yellow cards as well. So he looks a real contender in order to pick up two fouls along the way. So just a reminder of the bet builder then for this week. It is Manchester City to win at Monaco, Erling Haaland anytime goal scorer, and Lamine Kamara to commit 2+ fouls. And that will return at around about 17-10. Big thanks then to Miltz for his input on this week's Euro Assist show. Of course, we'll be back with the domestic version later in the week on Thursday. Don't forget, in the meantime, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. But for now, enjoy your midweek European football and please remember to gamble responsibly.